Hello, everybody. Welcome back. We're here with the Drunken Mustache Reviews, episode number 2. Today's episode is brought to you by Chicken and Egg Sandwiches, reminding you that if you're going to kill and eat an animal anyway, you might as well eat their entire family to ensure that they don't seek out vengeance on you. Chicken and Egg Sandwiches, it's not about the calories. It's about sending a message. And with me today is a man who loves his chicken and egg sandwiches. TG, how's it going, TG?
It's going. For a change, I actually have an alcoholic beverage to suit the name of the game here. Chocolate Orange Southern Tier Brewery.
Really? Huh. How is that chocolate or?
You know, good solid 10% alcohol beer. Hopefully I'll be good and drunk enough for the Drunken Mustache Reviews.
Is that a porter? Is it actually... Or is that just the name of the brewery? Like, is actually Chocolate Orange?
Yeah, Chocolate Orange. It's an Imperial Stout.
Oh, okay. There we go. Yeah, that sounds like a good
time. It's similar to that Thick Mint thing you've had before.
Oh, yeah. No. I need to give me one of those Pure Bliss Stouts that Terrapin was setting up. But enough about that. We are a music review show, not a beer review show. If you want to check that out, check out TG's other YouTube show. What's the name of that again?
I don't recommend it. I don't recommend it, but we'll put it in the description.
Fair enough. All right. So this week, we're going to be looking at three albums. We've got Metallica, Hardwired to Self-Destruct, Katy Perry, Witness, and Jason Derulo's... What's the name of this? Everything Four? Yeah.
I couldn't figure that out.
Everything the Number Four, which as big Psycho Stick fans, we got a kick out of the name of that.
That was all I could think about. I can only count to four. I can only count to four.
Exactly. Oh, man.
I can't see. Now I have to pee, and I can't count to three, but I can count to Jägermeister. Sorry, I had to go there. Sorry.
We'll cover Psycho Stick on another day, but for first, let's stick with our genre. So first off, we're going to talk about Metallica, and here I have a bit of a taste of their new album right here, so take a listen. So that right there was just a bit of an intro to their title song, Hardwired. So Metallica is a band that's got a lot of history behind them. I think even if you're not familiar with the genre, I think you can place the name Metallica. And they've got a lot of songs that resonate with people. But I think they're also a band that if you talk to anyone that isn't a hardcore fan, you wouldn't necessarily know that they're still around, that they're still putting out albums. Anyway, I've got some good thoughts on this album, but TG, I'll start with you. What were you thinking as you started listening to this?
If I'm just going to go ahead and give a quick summary on my thoughts, this is the Metallica album that I think a lot of the hardcore fans have been kind of waiting on for about 20 years. I mean, people said that about Death Magnetic several years ago, that this was Metallica's big return to form, a return to their classic sound. But I don't know. Like, when I think Metallica's classic sound, I am typically thinking Kill 'Em All, Ride the Lightning, Master of Puppets, those albums, you know, the classic 80s thrash metal sound. And I kind of think that's where Hardwired fits. I mean, it's not a perfect album, but, you know, if we're just kind of going off the top of my head while I was playing it, that was what came to mind for me. This was what I'd been kind of waiting for since I first got into them like 10 years ago.
You know, I actually got a kick out of the album. Well, first off, I was a little confused when I first started it up because I read the title, Hardwired to Self-Destruct, and I listened to the song, and I was like, are they trying to get environmental on me? Like, are they trying to send out a message here? Because you know how I feel about getting preached at. But yeah, I actually looked it up online, and I'm sure somebody will say otherwise. But as far as I can tell, the reason they picked that song, it was literally the last song they recorded. They needed a quick opener that sounded good, and they needed it to be generic as possible, like as generic a subject matter as possible. So, you know, humans wiping themselves out.
I can believe that.
So I was like, I was pleasantly, when I found that out and I listened to the rest of the album, I was pleasantly surprised because I thought there was going to be like an ongoing message through the album. No, like you said, it's got a really good vibe. I would say if I'm really looking for critiques, I think maybe they don't put as much of an edge onto some of these songs. They're a little bit,
sure.
But I mean, what are you going to do? How old are these guys now? You know, that I think they're not.
I mean, Metallica's been around for like 30 years. I imagine when you get up in your 50s and 60s, unless you're Lemmy fucking Kilmeister, it might be a little hard to retain that edge because I think they've been sober for about at least 15 or so years. So, you know, let's be honest, when they first got started, they partied like motherfuckers.
Yeah, and I guess what I mean by that is like, they don't really push the tempo. The tempos kind of stay the same. There's not a lot of shifts.
Sure.
But that's fine. I don't need that. And I think what I like the most about this album is something that maybe you were kind of getting at with the album being for the fans. To me, this was an album where it seemed like they weren't doing it for anything complicated. They were out there and they were writing songs that they wanted to write and that they enjoyed.
Absolutely.
And with the time that it took to build up to this album, I kind of get that. And I really liked it. I went out and bought it. I mean, part of my problem with buying the album, though, was half of the album was the new stuff they put out, and half of the album was a bunch of live music with some of their big classics. And honestly, if I had known that, looking back on it now, after listening to that album over and over and over again, I probably would have just bought the live album, like, completely separately, like, to be frank. I do like the new music, but the live album, like you said, for some reason I'm having a brain fart here.
It's all good.
Ride the Lightning. That's it. Ride the Lightning was on there.
Yes.
Crawling Death. A lot of really good songs that, you know, I think a lot of the public thinks of the songs that are in sports now, you know, Inner Sandman, stuff like that. Their song about,
you know, the stuff that got them big in the, you know, really like mainstream phenomenons in the first place. That stuff.
Yeah, like their song about cherry pie. I really like that one. No, you
that
know what?
Warrant.
You know, no, you know the one. Give me fuel. Give me fire. Give me slice of cherry pie.
Yeah. No, you know, I didn't buy, I listened to this album. I've got a Google Play subscription is what I use to listen to a lot of this. So at least, you know, I'm still, you know, they're still getting some cut out of this for their time. But if, kind of like you, if I'm going to try and give an actual critique, the one complaint I've got about this album, aside from the fact it's starting to show their age a little bit, is they could have cut out several tracks from this album and it would have benefited from it. Like, I didn't think there was a single bad song on the album, but there was a lot of filler, and there were several songs that probably could have been held back as, like, bonus tracks, because it was presented to me as a two-disc segment thing, and pretty much the first six songs were your Hardwired, your Moth into Flame, which, by the way, that was my favorite song off the album, Moth into Flame.
I was going to ask, do you know what the story behind that song was? Apparently it's like,
not really,
Amy Winehouse and her like fall from grace after she became famous. I was like, holy crap, really?
You know, I could kind of see it, because some of the songs I did pick up on a lot of, you know, your standard rock and metal themes of addiction and inner demons and shit. I could definitely see that. I didn't think that deep into it, but I could, you know, I can kind of see where they might have been going with that.
But yeah, I really did like that one. That was a standout. I kind of liked Cthulhu and, Dreaming No More and Atlas Rise. But anyway, I'm sorry, I'm cutting you off.
That's all good. That was the gist. All I was going to add to that was pretty much the second disc, the second six songs, it was mostly filler. I mean, that's not always a bad thing, because like I said about the Mastodon album last week, sometimes you just want something you can throw in the car and blast and not have to worry about changing a track, but But I'll keep from rambling too much further and say that this was a solid album for me. I didn't give a shit about Death Magnetic, but this one's got me paying attention to Metallica again.
Yeah, it's a solid album. They're solid bros. I gave it. So yeah, I do agree with you on that point. Of course, I bought the full album, so for me it was a 4-album set, and like,
shit.
Yeah, because two of those two of the CDs were the live shows, and one of the CDs was the intro song, and then the second CD was filler. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know that I needed that much, but hey, at least I got bang for my buck. So,
yeah, from what I understand, even if you're not a big metal fan, Metallica's always a good choice live. I really hope I get the chance to catch them sometime. I always seem to miss it.
They got the Atlanta tour coming up next weekend. I guess that's bad luck on your part. Sucks.
Yeah. I couldn't get tickets. Like, I wasn't about to spend $90 for nosebleeds. I'm sorry. I don't want to see them that bad.
I'll tell you how awesome it is when me and Barbie go see it. But anyway.
Yeah. I will live vicariously through you.
I will give this CD an 8. It was very solid. It clearly wasn't their best album. It clearly wasn't a masterpiece. But if you like Metallica, hell, if you just like rock in general, not even necessarily metal, you will probably find something that you like in this album and you will enjoy it. So, yeah, I would say.
Good, straightforward thrash metal from some of the guys who invented the genre.
Yeah, can't argue with that. I mean, they didn't show as much of their age as I was expecting. I was very good. Anyway, we do.
Yeah, more, you know, less so than on Death Magnetic, that's for sure.
Anyway, we do have two other albums to talk about. So the next one up is Katy Perry, Witness. Not The Witness, that kind of threw me off when I...
Witness me!
Which, if you've seen her picture on the album, kind of creeps me the hell out, where she's got her hands covering her eyes, and her mouth, she's got an eyeball. But anyway,
I'm just kind of waiting. Like, I just kind of wanted to spray paint that part of the picture with some silver spray paint,
just to cover it up. Like, okay, I don't need to see that. Let me give you all
shiny and chrome.
Let me give our listeners a quick taste of the title track.
Could you go down with me tonight? Could we get back up and eventually laugh? Roll eyes at highs. Cheers in the lows and stay in the flow.
Okay, so that's just a taste. Honestly, the song's a bit long, so I was trying to find a good cut, but that's a good taste of a little bit of everything out of that song. So I'm going to start off. I don't know TG's feelings on the matter, but I kind of respected and liked Katy Perry. You know, I wasn't a huge fan of her music. I wasn't going out buying her albums, but she had some fun songs that I liked to listen to and that the people around me liked to listen to. You know, Last Friday Night, just a fun song about going out and getting drunk and enjoying yourself.
Who can't appreciate that?
Exactly, you know. And then, there were other songs like Firework and, you know, some other stuff where it was just catchy and fun, you know. This album, in my opinion, kind of goes in an opposite direction. Like, it kind of takes all the fun and thrilling, young, you know, be young, be crazy, have a good time out of her music. And that was very disappointing to me because I was not expecting that. Obviously, there's other parts I didn't like. It's a pretty heavy, reliant on EDM kind of album, and Katy Perry's voice has never exactly been mind-blowing with its range or its, you know, vocals. So that's where she kind of relies on her lyrics to be fun and enjoyable, and this album went very far away from that. Like, she was, you know, I hate to go, it seems like the theme of this show, this album is, this episode is, you know, talking to your audience, and I felt like that was kind of what she was trying to do this entire time with every one of her songs. TG, what were your thoughts on the album?
All right, so this is going to be a huge surprise to you, I know, but I'm not a really big fan of pop music. Can't really say I have been. I don't imagine there's going to be a whole lot that'll change that. I do have a soft spot for Lord, but that's a different story for another time. But you're right. Like, the one thing I've always known Katy Perry for, as someone who's not a dedicated fan, is, like you said, her, you know, kind of her more upbeat, kind of fun, kind of party themed, you know, have a, you know, kind of rambling, but I mean, just the whole have fun, upbeat kind of theme to her music. Like, I still remember right before I started college, her whole I Kissed a Girl song, like, that was at every party I ever went to from the time I graduated high school to the end of my freshman year of college. Like, that was just one of the songs to have on rotation. And really, the thing that pissed me off about this album was so much of it just seemed to be about how much of a bad bitch she thinks she is. And to me, it's like, okay, you're saying this so often. Are you trying to convince me that you're a bad bitch? Or are you trying to convince yourself you're a bad bitch? And I kind of think it's a little bit of the latter, because around the time we decided to kind of review this particular album, I saw a news article come up that was kind of talking about, like, she's apparently in the midst of a little bit of a mental breakdown of sorts. Like, at one point she actually live streamed a session with her therapist, and she just had a complete breakdown in tears. So clearly the chick's going through some shit, and I can kind of see it reflected a little bit in this album. I never thought I'd go this deep into thinking about a pop album, but, you know, damn. But to avoid kind of going off too far on that tangent, I will try to say something positive. I did kind of like the song, the title track of the album, Witness. Like, it actually seemed kind of sincere. Like, it was one of the few songs in the album that wasn't about how much of a badass she's trying to convince herself to be. And, you know, it kind of seemed a little vulnerable, and I can kind of appreciate that. But I do have to question the judgment of somebody that's live streaming their fucking therapy session. I mean, as somebody that's been there, that's had to go through that process, the last thing you want is millions of people knowing that kind of level of, you know, invasion of your privacy. So I don't know. I'll just sum it up. Personal issues out of 10.
That's a good way of putting it. I mean, I could critique the, I don't know what you want to call it, the idol lifestyle, I guess, all day, but that would be a different podcast. I do agree with you in a sense, because I think when you look at a lot of the idols, in my mind, I guess, Madonna and who's the girl that's playing in Las Vegas now? God, I can't believe I forgot her name. Britney Spears. Yeah, Britney Spears.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So when you think about those albums, they kind of have a pretty similar track to kind of what Katy Perry's putting out. They're like, first track is like, oh, this is my debut album, and I'm fun, and I'm preppy, but I've also got a, like, crazy side. And then their second album is like, oh, yeah, you know, I knew I was young, and I was putting myself out there, but I've really got a lot of talent, and I can dance and sing, and I've also got a sexy side. And then, like, their third album is something along the lines of, well, you know, I thought I was young, but now I'm grown up and I'm so mature and I know what life's about. And it's like, okay. That's kind of the vibe I got with this album, where, like, Katy was trying to prove to herself that she had grown up and she knew what was going on with life and everything. But I didn't know about the mental breakdown stuff, so that kind of puts that in a different light for me. I mean,
yeah, I mean, like I said, she's clearly, if you just going off the article I read, she's clearly got something going on. I guess the stress of fame is getting to her, which, I mean, fuck, I don't know how I would deal with millions of people hanging on everything I do, but
moth to a flame.
Shit.
But yeah, I mean, I didn't think that the music in the album was necessarily bad. It's just kind of the same thing we talked about with you two last week. It's, I don't like getting preached at, and it felt like she was trying to talk to me, where this is really something she needs to handle herself. I don't want to listen to somebody going through their mental issues. Anyway, I give it like a 4.5 to a 5. I don't think it's terrible. I just think it kind of strays away from what she was doing before, and I get the reasoning for that. I just, as somebody who's here to review music, I can't say, you know, oh, well, it's good for her to sort her stuff out by putting out albums and asking people to pay for it and listen to it.
I mean, whatever helps you sleep at night is, I guess.
I don't know. It seems a little, not insincere, but it seems kind of callous to your fans to be like that. But hey, you know, whatever. Yeah. Like you said, whatever gets you through.
I mean, yeah, I'm not going to buy this album. I'm not going to go pay for her shows. But then again, I wasn't going to before this album either. So nothing's changed.
I did kind of like Bon Appetit, which was like the song about her getting eaten out by another guy. If you can't read between the lines, that was a pretty good. I kind of like that one.
Was it really reading between the lines when it was practically hitting you over the head with that subtext?
But yeah, no. I mean, yeah, that one seemed more like along the traditional Katy Perry, where it's just like, let's get fun and crazy. But yeah, nothing else with this album really resonated with me. Also, who teams up with Nicki Minaj? Really? Come on. Anyway, that's a story for another time. Okay, so our last album, Everything the Number 4 by Jason Derulo. So I'm going to go ahead and play a sample of the only song on the track that really stood out in my memory, and then we'll talk about it. All right. It's too hard to sleep. I got the sheets on the floor, nothing on me. And I can't take it no more, it's 100 degrees. I got one foot out the door, where are my keys? Because I got to leave, yeah, in the back of the cab. All right, and that's not only a pretty good sample for the song, it's a pretty good sample for the album. All right, so TG, I'll lead off with you. What were your thoughts?
Quick question. Since I can't hear what you're playing on my end, which track was that?
Want to Want Me.
Okay. So, again, just prefacing everything with the fact that I'm not into pop music very much at all. I'm going to try to stay as positive as possible because I really don't want to be that dick, that you know, metalhead dick that's just like, if it's not metal, it sucks. Because I have been accused of that before, but
I mean, by all means, be that dick. Fuck.
I mean, you know, I'm trying to be fair and balanced. I'm basically trying to fill the void that Fox claims to fill.
Whoa, getting political here. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
Hey, left wing, right wing, I hate everybody. Fuck it. I can't say that I loved this album. I mean, again, it was pretty standard, you know, pop music. Every song was about relationships or a woman or something like that. I mean, hey, there's a market for that. I mean, you got to have something to put on the radio when you got somebody over, you know, whatever. And I don't know how much of it is auto-tune and how much of it is his actual voice, but I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. You know, Jason Derulo apparently, you know, seems to have a really good singing voice. I will give him that. And I'll also give him credit. I think I only heard him sing his name once the entire album.
Yeah, it was the very first song.
Was it? I kind of lost track, but, you know.
I'm pretty sure, because I listened to it twice, I'm pretty sure he did sing his name more than once. He just put it in the middle of the songs instead of, like, in front of them like he usually does. But, yeah, I mean, I will give him credit. I'm going to go out on a bit of a tangent before I let TG finish. Like, I was the one who recommended this album, and the reasoning was because I knew of Jason Derulo, but I did not know anything about him other than the fact that he sung his name in front of every single one of his songs.
And like a Pokemon.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he was a Pokemon. Like, he just had to call. That was the only words he knew.
Jason Derulo? Jason Derulo! Jason Derulo!
I don't know where.
Apparently, in Pokemon speak, that's a fully functional sentence.
Where would he be in the category of 150 pop stars? I don't know. He'd probably be like a Spearow or something. I don't know. Now we're getting into Pokemon.
Maybe.
Anyway, yeah.
Plus, there's like fucking 2,000 goddamn Pokemon now. So shh.
Yeah. So he'd be much more generic than that. I guess since I kind of cut you off, I'll go ahead and just keep going. I agree with you for the most part. I didn't expect us to love this album. I didn't expect to like this album. I like it better than the Katy Perry album in the sense that...
Yeah, kind of.
In the sense that I knew what I was getting myself into. Because it's like, okay, he's pop. It's going to be pop songs, and that's what I'm going to hear. And that's exactly what I got. So I can't say I was disappointed or surprised or anything like that. And he didn't preach at you. He didn't beat it over the head. It was just, you know, him singing about sleeping with girls or, you know, driving cars or doing whatever. It's a category of music that, in my mind anyway, it's drunk white girl music where it's, you know, if you're at a club and you're, like, trying to hit on this girl and the girl's like, oh, my God, I love this song. Let's go out there and dance. Ah. And then, you know, later they'll play it again. She won't know what the hell it is. She just enjoys it because she's drunk and she wants to dance. So, and there's nothing wrong with
that. And it's got a good beat.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't mean that the music itself is great, but there's a market for that music. And I think he feels...
And I just want to interject and say I would pay good money to see somebody try to dance at a club to Bleed by Meshuggah. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go look it up on YouTube and then try to dance in a coherent fashion to that fucking weird-ass rhythm. Pro tip, you probably can't.
I'm gonna take a look at that afterwards. But yeah, I mean, I can think... Yeah, you know, you can't dance to metal. Like, well, maybe there's a few that you can, but, you know, there's a reason that music's out there. And I think he provides it. That said, I saw why he puts his name on in front of every song he sings, and that's because all of his music, for the same reasons that I was just kind of like saying it's pretty good, his music is generic as all hell. So you could have told me that anybody had played any of those songs on the album and I would have been
A branding thing.
Yeah. I mean, if anybody else, yeah, if you had walked up and told me any other pop artist had sung those, I would have been like, okay, sure, I believe that. Justin Timberlake, all right. It doesn't sound like him, but sure, why not? All right. You know, there's just nothing really special about them. Nothing that rings a bell. Kind of like I said, go ahead.
You know, it's funny that you brought up Justin Timberlake because the whole time I was listening to this, that was the name that kept jumping into my head. Like, especially the one song that I have to say I kind of liked, I think it was like Cheyenne. Sounded like something from the 80s. It was kind of cool on that note, but like you said, you could have told me that was Justin Timberlake, and I would have had no grounds to call bullshit.
Yeah, and I can totally get now why he brands his music in front of there, because that's the only way you would be able to identify it from other stuff. But, you know, I didn't think it was bad. I didn't think it was good either. I didn't think it was good probably because, you know, I don't like the genre, but I didn't think it was bad. I give it a flat, like a 5, maybe a 5.5 if you're trying to get – you're trying to get a drunk girl at the bar to go home with you or something. But, you know, to each their own. TG? Yeah.
I don't disagree with you on that one.
Yeah. So that's going to wrap us up for this week. Thank you, as always, for listening.
And I'm sorry that you do listen.
Sorry that you have to suffer through us listening. No.
You're going to listen to our opinions and you're going to like it.
I mean, hey. You're talking about Fox News here. Yeah. Anyway, thanks again, as always. If you have any albums you'd like to request us to listen to, just leave a comment post below, and we will do our best to review them in the future. Till next week, have a good one. TG, you got any shout-outs? Peace out.
Do what? Fuck. I had one, and I lost it. So, hi, Mom!
I don't have a mom. That's a lie, I have a mom.